If you'll open your Bible to the book of James, and we're beginning today on our journey through James, we've come to the third chapter, and I'm going to read the first 12 verses. Hear now the word of God. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. They are so large and are driven by strong winds. They are guided by a very small rudder. Wherever the will of the pilot directs, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond produce fresh water. The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, of course, I think you know by now that early church tradition tells us that the James who wrote this book of James toward the back of the New Testament is James, the brother of Jesus. James, who is mentioned in the book of Acts as a preeminent leader in the church at Jerusalem. And one of his great themes, in fact, it may well be the central theme of his book, is the power of words and the danger of the misuse of words, both the power of words to do good, to bless, and to proclaim the gospel, and also the power of words to be destructive and to tear down. Now, you might be thinking, didn't we just cover this a couple of weeks ago? Well, yes, we did. But the structure of James is like revolving themes, and he's going to keep coming back to this theme of the use of words. And if we were to say to James, hey, a preacher, didn't you talk about that 2 weeks ago? He would say, yes, and I'm going to keep talking about it until I think you've got it. Or, speaking as a preacher, I might say, I'm going to keep preaching about it until I get it. Words have power, both to bless and to build up. Says James, we bless and praise our God and Father, and then we tear down people who are made in the image of our God and Father. James says, this must not be so. Now, I want you to think back over your own life for a moment. Isn't it true that the deepest wounds that have ever been inflicted on you were inflicted by words. Now, I've had physical wounds that hurt like Billy O, but those healed because the body just naturally heals. And you expect that kind of word. You expect that kind of wound to hurt. But the wounds inflicted by words can endure for years and years and years, maybe even a lifetime. Can't you do anything right? You know, you'd get better grades if you weren't so lazy. Why can't you be more like fill in the blank? Or there are words spoken when a relationship ends or when a marriage comes apart. I don't love you. I never loved you. You know, there are some words that just should never be spoken. That just should not be spoken. Because words are like arrows. Once you shoot them, you can't get them back. And it is the idea, and you hear this in some sectors of our society, that, well, if there's something on your heart, you really have to say it. No, you don't. There are some words that if you have to say them, go into your walk-in closet and shut the door and say it to your shirts and get it out of your system. Now, most of the time, our words are more subtle, perhaps, than some of the examples I just gave you. Most of the time, our words are more subtle, but can also be wounding. Let me give you an example. Okay, at the end of a long day, you come home. And you're not even really sure why, but you're feeling kind of out of sorts and frustrated and a little bit short-tempered. And you don't even know why. Well, let me give you a suggestion. Think back over the words that were exchanged that day. Words that were said to you and words that you said. And maybe you add all those words up and you'll know why you're feeling out of sorts. Now, James, I'm thinking, must have seen a lot of damage done in the church by words. That's why this is such a great concern of his. That's why he wrote, "With the tongue we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the image of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing." And these are powerful images that he used. The tongue is such a tiny little thing. By the way, I used to be able to touch the end of my nose with my tongue. Thankfully, I can't do that anymore. I'd be tempted to demonstrate. Yeah. The tongue is such a tiny little thing, he says. But then he gives some examples. He says, think of a ship out at sea. And a great big ship with great big sails driven by the wind is steered by this little rudder. Or he says, what a tiny little fire can become a great conflagration. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had a big fire down in Celebration Park, down on the Snake River. Burned thousands of acres. It started with somebody's campfire that was not properly tended. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing, says James. This ought not to be so. Now, I will also add that sometimes when James is speaking specifically to our life together in the church, and very often when we're misusing our tongues in church, it can come under the guise of concern. It might even be sharing a prayer concern. You know, hey, you really ought to be praying for so-and-so. You know, his life is a train wreck, and let me tell you how. And then when you're listening, you make grunting sounds of concern. Well, I'll pray for him. And what you're really doing is gossiping and not intending to use any of those words to do good in that person's life. James asks, can the same spring produce both fresh and salt water? When you gossip, you're letting a poison come into your soul that you can't clean out. Charlotte and I have a dog that misbehaves incredibly. And we just had a major misbehavior this week. Don't ask about it. You know, but I love that dog. One of the reasons I love him is he can't talk. You know, he says that he makes noises every now. He tries every now and then, but even he doesn't know what he's saying. Now, James is not just telling us to ignore wounding words. And a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the old ditty of sticks and stones, and we know that that's nonsense. Words do hurt. James is telling us to be very careful about the words that we choose. And especially be careful about the words that you choose when you are hurt. That's probably when it's best to say nothing at all. But even going back to my dog, even a good dog that's gentle and that loves you might bite you if he's wounded. And we also, when we're wounded, can lash out. Now, Jesus knew that we would hurt each other. And in Matthew 18, he gives us a way to deal with it. He said, if your brother or sister, in other words, another Christian believer, sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. Just one-on-one. And if that person listens to you, you have regained that brother. You have regained that sister. When that's done with honesty and with gentleness, it can work out pretty well. And there can be forgiveness and a restoration of relationship. Jesus then went on to say, if your brother or sister does not listen to you, okay, go get another witness. Go get a third party and bring them along so the two of you are confronting the individual. And then, if they still won't listen to you, then take it to the whole church. Now, unfortunately, as human beings, even in the church, we have a tendency to skip number one and number two and go straight to number three, tell the whole church. And if you're really good at this, you know that there are just a handful of special people in the church that if you tell them, it's the same as calling up every radio station in town. And everybody's going to know. But do remember, James would have us remember, that that person you're talking about is made in the image of God. Don't think that you can bless your Father God and at the same time curse a brother or sister made in His image. This past week, we were witness once again to news of yet another mass killing. And this time, people who were gathered for prayer and Bible study at a church in Charleston. And once again, another young man took a gun and did unspeakably awful things, taking 9 lives. Now, and I was looking at the news just this morning, and apparently this young man had been heavily influenced by neo-Nazi racist literature and websites. somebody spoke into that young man's empty and broken heart. Now, that raises another question that we don't have time to go into this morning. I don't even know how to go into. Why in our culture today, in American society today particularly, why are there so many young men particularly whose hearts are just empty and so empty that they're willing to take in this kind of hate? But that's what happened to this young man. In his emptiness, something filled that void. And in his case, tragically, it was something hateful. And he directed that hate outwardly toward believers who were gathered for prayer and Bible study. I want to tell you a story, and it's a true story. It's one you might remember because I've told it to you before, about a young man who was empty and vulnerable, but a different and better word was spoken into his life. His name was Ben. This is a true story. A young boy named Ben, and he grew up in a small town in Tennessee. Ben didn't know who his father was. And his mother probably wasn't sure either who his father was. And he grew up as the child of a single mom at a time when there was a tremendous stigma attached to that. In fact, in the little town where he grew up, he was known as Ben the Bastard Boy. And Ben didn't know who he was. He had no identity. And he would cry himself to sleep at night because he wanted a father the way that the other boys in town had a father. And he used to hang around the church every now and then. There was a little church in the town. And sometimes on Sunday morning, he would even go and sneak up close to the church and listen by the window as they sang the hymns. But he didn't dare go inside because he thought, they won't let me in there. Because he knew what people thought of him. He knew what people thought of his mother. I could never go in there. But as he would go and listen by the window every Sunday morning, something was just drawing him in. And one day he got the courage. While they were singing the first hymn, he snuck in the back. And he sat down. And as the preacher got up to preach, he thought that the preacher was looking right at him. And he thought to himself, I don't belong here. Why is he looking at me? And so during the last hymn, he thought, I'm getting out of here right now. And he got up during that last hymn, and he started making his way toward the door as fast as he could. And he just got right outside the church, and all of a sudden there was a great big hand on his shoulder. And he turned around, and there was the pastor grabbing him by the shoulder and wheeled him around, and the pastor looked down at him and said, Ben, you have a father. I know who your father is. You're a child of God. God is your father, Ben. His name was Ben Turner. He went on to become governor of Tennessee. Because somebody spoke a word of love into his life that told him who he was. James says, with the same tongue, we can bless or we can tear down. My challenge to you and to me, let's speak words of blessing into one another's lives. And particularly, brothers and sisters, those of us that are mature, speak words of blessing and truth into the lives of young people. There are so many young people in our society today who don't know who they are. They're an empty vessel waiting to be filled up with something, and they will be. They'll either be filled up with lies, or they'll hear the truth, that they're a child of God and that God loves them. And I hope you hear that truth today. I hope you know today that God loves you, that you're His child, that He sent His Son Jesus into the world for you. and you are beloved with all the love there is in the universe. Let's bow together for prayer. Mighty Father, thank you for that word of truth that tells us who we are. Yes, we're sinners and we've been far from you, but we're beloved and you sent your Son Jesus for us. Lord, I pray for each one here that we will know that in the deepest place in our hearts. And I pray for all of those who don't know, all of those wandering this world empty and wondering who they are. Lord, may we have the opportunity to speak good news into the lives of others. And give us grace to be faithful and to speak up when we have that opportunity. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.